Please welcome Ambassador Belt, A Better World in Yiddish Community, Forest of Boston's work from Circle, and the clock from which we are coming.
you hammer and weave? What do you have to show for it? Workers, awake, recognize your strength. Your mighty arm can stop the wheels from turning.
Thank you. free from the heart of the New York ghetto. In a rear tenement, a young Romanian Jew lay dying of consumption. In this room, 10 feet square, 6 people lay on the floor, packed close. Breath, breath, give me breath. 2 years before he had come to America, one of 480,000 in 1901. He came young and well and hopeful with his wife and his baby son. Luft, Luft, give me Luft. He spoke in Yiddish. The new country had given him the plague with the language. Still, on through this cold winter, he worked over his machine in the sweatshop, feverish, tired, fearful to earn coal and food to keep his home alive. And now, on the last day of life, 10 times he whispered to his brother, begging him to care for the wife and the 3 little children. Breath.
Thank you. Yeah.
organizing the others. Gentlemen, you are aware of the agitation that is going on in our shops. Our satisfied workers are being molested and interfered with, and the so-called union is now planning a general strike. Let us form Employers Mutual Protection Association.
The strike ended after 14 weeks. 354 employers had signed the union contract. And with very few exceptions, all had agreed to a closed union shop, a 52-hour week, raises from 12 to 15%. The Triangle Company never backed down. As the busy clothing season approached, they took back their workers at higher wages and shorter hours. But they successfully resisted a union shop.
Through Washington Square, a puff of smoke issuing from the factory building caught my eye. As I reached the scene of the fire, a cloud of smoke hung over the building. I heard a loud noise, a more horrible noise than description can picture. I looked up, saw there were scores of girls at the windows. The flames from the floor below were beating in their faces. "Call the fire department," they screamed, scores of them. "Get a ladder." "Stay where you are," I said. "Don't move. Here they come." One girl climbed up on the window sash. She dropped into space. There was a loud thud. I looked up. Another girl was climbing out of the windowsill. There were scores of girls behind her. They were fighting each other and crowding for air. Behind them, I could see many screaming heads. The fire department came and raised the longest ladder. It reached only to the sixth floor. Now the crowd was enormous, even though they'd all been killed within 7 minutes. It started the fire, and the thuds, and the deaths.
Afterwards, I used to dream that I was falling through the window, screaming. I remember I would call up my mother in the dark, waking everybody up. "Mom!
Thank you.
13 minutes after the fire began, workers remained trapped, and nothing could save them. Elevator cables warped by the heat. Fire escapes collapsed under the weight of those fleeing. One stairway enveloped in flame, the other, the door locked, allegedly to search handbags at the end of the day for scraps of fabric.
I heard noises around the corner and I hurried there. Up on the ninth floor, the house was burning to death before our very eyes. They were jammed at the windows. Nobody was lucky enough to jump and see. And then the jam broke. Down came the bodies in the shower, burning, smoking, flaming bodies.
Now what is going to
salute the valor and the vision of the men and women who have founded your union, the International Ladies Gun Workers Union. They were immigrants to the land and strangers to the language, but they were not newcomers to courage. They battled first to free the workers from the slavery of the sweatshop, and then to free them from sickness and disease. That great cause suffered many setbacks, but each time it returned with greater force.
In 1913, 61 workers out of every 100,000 died on the job. By the end of the 20th century, that number was 4. Down to 4, but still 14 workplace deaths each day.
Evelyn, business gears up to fight new health and safety reform. But nobody wants to come home in a body bag after the day's work, and no one condones bad safety practices. The question is, how much compliance is too much compliance? In this economy, it's very difficult to keep a shop, keep up with your payroll, and accommodate all health and safety regulations.
There's a plaque on the Triangle Building. Out of their modernism came new concepts of social responsibility and labor legislation.
1991, set fire to Lane 25 in North Carolina. Screaming workers pounded and kicked locked exit doors as fire swept through a chicken processing plant. According to the Labor Department, the plant was never inspected because there aren't enough inspectors. 2001, 5 workers died in New York City construction accidents. The company is cited for performing masonry work with an expired permit. The immigrant workers, many of them undocumented, were paid $8 an hour, barely one-third that paid to union workers.
2010, deaths at West Virginia coal mine raised safety issues. Time stopped 5 days ago for the families of 29 coal miners who were killed in a deadly explosion at this West Virginia mine.
2010, Memorial Service honors 11 oil rig workers. Family of worker killed in explosion sues BP for wrongful death.
December 14, 2010. A raging fire tore through a huge Bangladeshi garment factory that makes clothing for primarily American brands, killing at least 25 workers, most of them women, and injuring 100 more. Many of the dead were killed when they jumped from the building, and workers said some exit doors were locked.
The shirt waist itself was a symbol of the times and the changing role of women. Practical, comfortable, a symbol of emancipation, independence, and professionalism. The shirtwaist represented the fabric that connected all women, factory girls, teachers, suffragists, women of high society, in a common bond of sisterhood.
Today, I observed many a Jewish girl with her arm around an Italian girl's neck, not able to speak one to the other, but both understanding they are fighting the same fight for each other's interests.
Oh, we are women, and we are marching on march. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. We are marching on march. So liberation, liberation, we are on the revolution. In question, you're asking, in question, you're
Bella ciao,
bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. In question, you're asking.
call it an uprise. The lesson of the hour is that while property is good, life is better. While possessions are valuable, life is priceless. The meaning of the hour is that the life of the lowliest worker in this nation is sacred and inviolable, and if that sacred human right be violated, we stand judged and condemned before the tribunal of God and of history.
New York, thus bold and aloud, key to all of my hopes and dreams, until I learned what it meant to work in a sweatshop. The machines go like mad. Sometimes in my haste, I get my finger caught and the needle goes right through it. I bind it up with a piece of cotton and go on working.
At the end of the day, one feels so weak that there is a great temptation just to lie down and sleep. But you must go out and get air and have some pleasure.
Dear Father, Russia seems so far away. But don't worry about me. I'm in a union now.
We all know it was dangerous to go back to work after the Triangle fire, and that we might not live. But if we wanted to eat and feed our children, we had no choice.
I wonder what sisters means, if it doesn't mean to help each other in all of our labor troubles.
What the woman who labors wants is the right to live, not simply exist. The right to life as a rich woman has the right to live. And the song and music and art.
As we go marching, marching.
Oh, We'd like to finish with a song that kind of sums up everything about who we are as the Workman's Circle. The music is by Beethoven. The words were written by beloved Yiddish writer I.L. Peretz more than 100 years ago. We're all colors, all creeds. We come from many nations. None of those differences mean anything. We're all part of the same human family. And then finally, we've woven it together with a contemporary anthem that I'm sure